Did you turn your microphone off yet? Turn it back on, all right? Yeah, it's easy done. Share your testimony with us right quick.
I was at my grandparents' house. It was my fifth birthday. I remember going to my grandfather. He was a Baptist preacher, so of course I was going to be saved, but but not really. So I went to him. I told him, I said, it seems like something's missing. So I remember talking to him and realizing, of course, I was a sinner. Something was missing, and he led me to the Lord. And I remember my grandmother coming home for some. At the time, she was my best friend. I told her, you're no longer my best friend anymore. I said, I have somebody else. And I told her I accepted the Lord as my Savior, and now he's my best friend. So,
amen. Hey, that's a good word. Hey, that song you did, I sing that song in my car. And I'm really good in my car.
Does it sound
like that? Yeah. When I sing that big part. But tonight I'm going to sing it a little different. I'll go home by myself, and I'm going to sing it in that breathy tone that you used. I'm good at that. I sing because I'm happy. That's my favorite part. But that was really good. I know he cares for me. I wish you could hear me in the car on the way home tonight. It'll be really good. Amen. Thank you, son. Give him a good hand tonight. Great job. Amen. Yeah. I'm glad he and his family are part of our church. They bring a lot to the table here at Ollie. Thank you, Joy, for sharing with us. Well, we're looking tonight at what most people would call the most popular verse in all of the Bible. On many Sunday nights this year, I am using Dr. O.S. Hawkins' book, The Joshua Code. And O.S. has written a little book, and he takes 52 verses that everyone should know, and one a week. And I'm taking these on Sunday night, and I'm not using them every Sunday night, but most Sunday nights, that I'm just taking that verse that he encourages us to memorize. I did it last Sunday night, didn't share it with you, but out of Genesis 1:1, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And tonight we come to the most popular verse in all the Word of God. Many of these you already know, but they're cornerstones, they're markers. What OS would say is they are guide stones for us. Used to be the annuity board, and that takes care of our health and retirement for Southern Baptists is called Guidestone. And those Guidestones come out of a European background that marked the road, and the Guidestones that were there, and thus Guidestone is used. And OS oversees that as our president, and he's a wonderful preacher. He's been here and preached for us more than one occasion, and look forward to him being back. But he wrote that little book, and he's giving it out. And so I'm just taking those verses. And then he gives a little outline. I didn't use last week, but tonight I'm even going to steal his outline. I want to share it with you because it's so good, and give you a few other things around this verse. Now, if we're not careful, we'll take these verses and we'll just like kind of glance over them, you know, and say, well, I know all about that. Well, you don't either, and I don't. We don't know all about the verse that's the most popular in all of the Bible, in the 3rd chapter of John and the 16th verse. And so as it comes up on the screen, I want us to all read it out loud, and we're going to read it out of the King James, out of the New American Standard Translation. Not to read it in the King James is almost sin, I understand, because you've learned it that way, most of us. But if you've not been a Bible memorizer, a verse memorizer, I encourage you to take some of these verses and memorize them, and certainly this is one that all of us should know. Let's read it together out loud. You see it there on the screen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Let's read it one more time, just for good measure. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We must take this verse and make it our own. You go to ball games or on television, you'll see this verse. Remember the old boy with the wild hair that used to hold up the John 3:16 sign and shake his head, and he had on the multicolored hair? We see this banner that is up from time to time, and we don't see the John 3:16 guy as much, but he's around. This is one of the first verses that we teach our children. Joy spoke about coming to Christ at his grandfather's house, and he was a preacher. I guarantee you that John 3:16 is a part of that house, and teaching those kids. For you, it's one of the first verses that you ever memorize is John 3:16. Angel Martinez was an evangelist, a Hispanic gentleman from Texas. I used to hear he and his brother preach. Angel was a phenomenal intellect. As a matter of fact, he had the entire New Testament memorized. You could just simply say to Angel Martinez, Romans 6, and he'll quote you that chapter. He had a phenomenal intellect. Would have trained to be a doctor, but he got saved. And he got saved, Angel did, his testimony was, he got saved because he was invited to a vacation Bible school in Texas because one reason, they were serving ice cream in the summer. And he went to get ice cream. And he went and he heard the gospel. And Angel Martinez, this phenomenal mind as a young boy, heard the gospel and later trusted Jesus Christ and then was called to be a preacher when he was just a teenage boy. And because he had wonderful memory and he didn't know what to preach, and then they asked him to preach at a little church, he went to a track rack in the church and he just started pulling out tracks. And what Angel Martinez did is that he memorized all of those tracks. And the only way that he knew to preach is what he had heard growing up. And the pastor would read the Bible and he'd say, point number one. And he'd talk. And he'd say, point number two. And he'd talk. And Angel Martinez took all of those tracks. I'm talking 20-something. And he memorized them all. In his first sermon, he said, point number one. And he gave him the track. Point number two. And he gave him the track. Verbatim. He didn't read it. It came out of his mind. He had this capacity to memorize. And so he took the Bible and started from Matthew and all the way to the Revelation. I've heard him, a phenomenal man, as he would share the gospel. Angel Martinez said about John 3:16, it is salvation's formula. It is the formula for salvation. And it is given to us with four elements in this formula. And I want to give you those that he shared, Dr. Hawkins captured, and think about those tonight. What is involved in this text, the most popular verse in the Bible? Number one, there is in this text salvation's cause, the cause of salvation. For God so loved the world. The cause of the gospel is the love of God. God loves you. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. You say, well, that's a great thing. And you know, it would be easy to love. But think about the most unlovely people you can think of tonight. And I want you to know God loves them as much as he loves you. Everyone. You go to that shooter in Newtown, Connecticut. And that young man and that heinous crime, I want you to understand God loved him as much as he loves you. For God so loved the world, cosmos, all of us, everyone, salvation's cause. That caused the gospel is the love of the Lord Jesus. Now, I have people in this congregation from time to time. I say hello or whatever, and I'll stick out my hand. And then they will say these words to me. No, I'm a hugger. And then they grab you around the neck as they say, are you a hugger? Well, if I had to say yes or no, I'd say I'm probably not. But I hug a good bit, and sometimes I am hugged. But I try to be careful. Because I've watched hugging get you in trouble. But they are loving. And they show that. Well, I want you to understand, love is more than a hug. Love cares when you're unhuggable. When you're away and you've done something that people don't want to embrace, But yet people come to you and love you. That is the love of God. He loves when we are at our depths, when nobody seemed to care, and when we were away and we were in the depth of our sin. That's salvation's cause. God so loved you and everyone else in the world. You just think of the most vile, wicked person that you can fathom tonight and understand that that person is included in the gospel love circle. It is salvation's cause. Second part of the formula is salvation's cost. The cost. For God so loved the world, here's the cost. He gave His only begotten Son. His only begotten Son. There is the cost. From the Genesis to the Revelation, as Dr. Criswell used to say, this is the scarlet thread through the Bible. It is the blood of the Lord Jesus. Listen to the gospel in Romans. You know this verse. In Romans 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says it this way unto us. God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, here's the cost, Christ died for us. Salvation is free, but it's not cheap. And you understand that freedom is not free. There was a cost for your salvation. Are you going to heaven tonight? Are you going to go to heaven when you die? Well, understand, friend, that ride is not cheap. That entryway had a cost, and that cost was God's own Son. He laid down His life. That's why we put that window where it is. That's why we put it high and center. That's why we put a cross on the top of this building. We want people to remember there was a cost for the gospel. Your salvation had a cost, and that cost is God's own Son. Salvation's cause, God so loved the world. Salvation's cost. God gave His only begotten Son. There is fourthly in this formula of this text, salvation's condition. Salvation's condition. Now there are many of you tonight that watch by internet or listen by radio. And I want to say a word to those of you that watch us by internet tonight. I want to thank you for looking our way and tuning in here at Olive and on your computer, your phone, or whatever that you're looking on. Now, I want to ask you to do something for me. If you know the Lord, or even if you don't, but if you're listening, saved or lost tonight, I'd like you to send me a text tonight. Send me an email. And that email can simply come. You can go on the website and find my name and click there, or just send it to Pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, at olivebaptist.org, pastor@olivebaptist.org. I'd like you to respond to me and simply say, Pastor, we're watching, we're viewing, enjoyed the service. Those testimonies were awful. I couldn't hear. Just tell me whatever. I hope you could. I think that came through. So, but I'd like to hear from you as you respond. There is a condition about salvation. And it is to believe, it is to respond. For God so loved the world, there's the cause. He gave His only Son, that's the cost. That whoever believes in Him, believes on Christ, there's the condition. You remember in the book of Acts, Paul's preaching in Philippi, and there is an earthquake and the doors come open and the jailer runs in and he asks that question, what must I do in order to be saved? And what is it Paul says to him? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You must believe on Him. Now, it's one thing to believe in Christ. It's another thing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe in Him. I believe in Washington, but I don't believe on Washington. I believe in Abraham Lincoln. I've never met him. I don't believe on him. I've put my faith and trust on Christ. I believe in him, but I believe on him. I've put all of my eternal weight on Christ and Christ alone. I've not put it on baptism. I've not put it on being a Baptist preacher. God knows that won't get you into heaven. I've not put it on church membership. I'm telling you, I have put it on my trusting Christ alone. Have you believed? Can you take me to a place and tell me of that time where you believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Salvation's condition. And then there is fourthly in this text, after we see the cause of God so loved the world, we see the cost that he gave his only begotten son. We see the condition that he believes on and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation's consequence. Shall not perish, but have eternal life. There's a place called hell. But there's a place called heaven. That is the consequence of salvation. That is the promise. Yesterday afternoon, I had a funeral for one of our members, 56 years old, George Smith. Went over and boy, the little chapel at the funeral home was packed. People standing around the wall. People in overflow watching on a video circuit. And so it's my job to preach the gospel, share about this gentleman, and then remind people of death. Mr. Smith, 56. That quick. We don't like to think about that. This is eternity in the balance. So how about you? How about you watching tonight and listening by radio and watching on internet? How about you? Heaven? Hell? Which one? Wow. Which one? Where will you the consequence of this greatest gift of salvation is that we go to heaven. Now here's what I want to do tonight. I want you to think with me for a moment. Now I want you to think, who do you know in heaven? And I want you to think back to members of this church that you knew, and as best you know, they're in heaven tonight. Now, you don't know, but you believe. You think you know. I want you to think about that for a moment. And I want us to name some names. Now, I've been here long enough now, I know several folk on the other side. You know anybody over there that used to be now members of this church? I'm not talking about your grandmother that lives in Virginia. Thank God she went. But I want us to think about church family because we're going to go there. All right, I'm going to start. I got two names. I'm going to give you three names. To begin with, I see him and I saw him yesterday. Every time I go to Bayview Cemetery, I usually drive by a little slow, and I did. Yes, I look over. Bob and Betty Davis are there. They're on the front row, and I used to kid them about that. I said, "Well, I knew Betty Davis would be on the front row. If she is going to be in anything, she's going to be on the front row." And there's Bob and Betty, and I see that. And then used to sit right back here. My friend Conrad Noel. Oh, my Lord. What a great guy. Now, I want you to think about right now. It's almost 7 o'clock on Sunday night. Do you know where they are? They're not out there in the ground. The Bible says that whoever believes will have eternal life. That's not in a box. That's in a place called heaven. If I go and prepare a place, I'm coming back to receive you. That where I am, you can be also. So Bob and Betty Conrad, I want you to name me some names now. Tell me some folks that you knew that used to sit right here where we sit and are there. Yes, sir. Glover Bridges. Amen. And Dot, his wife too. Did both their services. What great, great folks. I remember Glover. The first Sunday I was here, this young man talked about, he came at the same time I did. When Glover came through, we had the deacons meeting and all the stuff we did, and they asked me 1,000 questions if I was Orthodox and believed this and that, and that. And so we got all done, and here came Glover, and he said, "Now I want to ask you the real question. Alabama or Auburn?" I'll never forget it. Never in my life will I forget Glover Bridges. And I told him my deal, and he said, "Okay, we'll let you in." I said, "All right, amen. That's good." Oh, man, what a great couple. Just give me some other names. I won't talk about all of them, but Pam. I'm sorry. Oh, my, Miss Loma. She's on search committee, brought me here. What a great lady. Used to teach me down there how to pick pole beans out of her house, out of her yard. What, Danny? Yes, yes, Brother Hal was down here. Yeah. Amen, baby. Nina Dean. I'm sorry. All right, the Williamsons. He went to the Holy Land with me. Stand up and tell us those names again. This is important right here.
North Cunningham and
Darcy. Yeah, amen. Good, good. Somebody else? Yes, ma'am. Leonard Owen. He used to, you're in his seat. Did you know it? He used to sit right here.
I didn't know.
For 100 years, he sat right here. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Brother Bobby. Man, what a great guy. He's the one told me to build that ball field out there. He said, "Whatever you do, preacher," this is nearly on his dying bed. He said, "You need to build that ball field out back." He said, "We used to have one out here in the front, and everybody came." He said, "You need to do that." He said, "I'm telling you to do that." And so I did it. Amen. Yeah. Oh, Ben and Dot Grant. He has the funniest stories that I cannot tell in church that he used to tell me at men's prayer meeting. Amen, Brother Stan. If you guys want to hear them, come by after church, and I'll tell you. Oh, my. Jean, we think she's in heaven. You okay? Amen. Bonnie? Ah, Jeff Bates. Jeff Bates built that pulpit right there. Matter of fact, if you take the lid off of it, he's got a signature in it. When I did his funeral, we took it out of there and showed it up on the big screen. Huey? In Passmore Hall. He died in church. I was not preaching when that happened. And when you see the West Annex over here with a name on it, that's after Howard West. You have to die in church to get your name on a building as a layman at Olive Baptist Church. Eddie Ashari. Oh, yeah. Joe Pinson. I think he saw his sweet wife right back there somewhere tonight. Yeah. The Millers, amen. She was 10, or she was 10 when she died. Wow. Yeah, Brother Jeff. I saw some other hands. Just pop up and holler at me. Rat Trigg. I hope he's there. Amen. Brother Rat. Rastus was his name. Kier Lobeck. Flowers up there today. Kier was shot and killed. And he, one of the first guys that helped us do banners at Olive Baptist Church. Young man, how old was he? About to turn 21 when he was shot and killed. Yeah. Somebody said a name over here.
Ray Godwin.
Ray Godwin. Amen. Brother Ray. Oh, Miss Georgia. Miss Georgia Hill started that scholarship fund for our seminary students, and she gave First Corpus that money to help our young men go to seminary. Hey, you know, this has been a pretty good old church, isn't it? That's why I wanted to do it. Now, we could go on and on and on and on. I wanted to say two things. Number one, the reason I want you to do this, heaven is a real place for real people. And in a few years, somebody will stand up and call your name. If you've believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're there and you have a witness here, it's a real place for real people. And then I want you to know that when you live your life in these names that are called out, and we could go on and on, there's legacy, legacy, legacy that you leave behind when you've done it the right way. Man, those names you've been naming, I'm just, all kind of stuff has come up in my head just by what you've been calling out tonight. Blessed be the name of the Lord.